It's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere. We had friends years ago. Dr. Greer was our family doctor. He loves Wisconsin too, and they lived up in this country somewhere down south, and they had a son. My youngest son's best friend at 17, he got melanoma cancer, and they fought it for 10 years, and he died at 27. But when you'd greet him, we'd say, "It's good to see you." And he would say, "It's good to be seen." It was a really pretty hard deal. Well, I'm amazed at the guiding of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to preach to you about Jesus. And more about Jesus, this whole song 338 just fits with what we're going to do tonight and this weekend, the Lord willing. More about Jesus, what I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus in His word, holding communion with my Lord. More hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus on His throne, riches and glory all His own. More of His kingdom sure increase, more of His coming, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we could be here. And it's just a real blessing for my wife and I to be here. But we want You here. So would You come and reveal to us the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You for all that You have done for us, Lord. And I pray if there'd be any here or any that might happen to listen to a tape sometime that doesn't know Christ, that the Holy Spirit would open up their heart to see that if you miss Jesus, you've missed everything. You have nothing. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit would just open our hearts up to understand from Your word tonight and this weekend. Father, You know I'm nothing, and You have said in John 15 that without You we can do nothing, and so I can't say anything or share anything unless You would override and take over. Thank You now in Jesus' name. Amen. Last fall I started a little study just focusing on Christ with our folks, and I've gone through 14 messages, and we had some breaks in there. We had some missionaries that would come along, and I thought, well, I'll just share with you what I shared with them. And I think I spent some time even apologizing because I didn't feel like I did a very good job just sharing. I'm talking about God in the flesh and just feel so inadequate to cover a subject like this. When I first started preaching back in 1975, or pastoring, I preached years before that, I would get up and I would apologize, and one older godly lady told me, "Don't do that." Just, you know, when you feel so inadequate, and the only reason you feel inadequate is because you are. But she got me over that. But I have really felt inadequate in this study on Christ and going through these things, and I felt like I have done such a poor job sometimes communicating. So I want you to ask God to give you at least one thing out of every message. So if we get through 9 of them, and I don't faint, you should have learned at least 9 things about the Lord. And ask Him to teach you. And so the first thing I'm going to cover in Christ and His life is His omnipotence, His power. Now, this is not going to be maybe a study like you think. It's going to be maybe a little bit different, because I just, years ago, when I was a kid, they had a car called a Rambler. And I was just sort of rambling around and jotting down notes, and pretty soon my pages sometimes would get filled up. I didn't have an agenda except just to learn about Jesus. And so I would jot down some notes and things. And so I'm going to just go on through here and trust you to get something. What does the power of Christ mean to you? I've got a list. I sat down one day and I wrote out in my life like 21 times when I can remember experiencing the power of Christ in my life. And it wouldn't be necessarily just something like you might think, but like the first time I can remember is 1952. I'm probably about 6 years old, and I had polio, and I was paralyzed from the waist down. But I experienced the healing of God in a sense, and I think maybe they were just coming out with a cure back in those days, and it was pretty bad. When I was in the hospital and you got guys in iron lungs breathing for them or in beds going up and down, and you got a shot every 3 hours, 24 hours a day, and they would grab you and roll you in these big old bristly rugs and stuff, and you'd cry, and you'd look out the window and see your mom and dad and your little sister. And so getting out of there and being able to walk again was a miracle to me. And my mom just massaged my little muscles for I don't know how long when I came home. But you'll have God in your life sometimes, and sometimes you won't realize it was just the power of Christ there working. Sometimes you get saved from about killing yourself or whatever. And some of the last words that Christ shared in Matthew 28 was, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And that's also used 28 times for authority. And so he who has the authority can share the authority. And so that's an amazing thing that he has given us of his power. And he said, "But that you may know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins, take up thy bed, take up your bed, rise and walk." He just demonstrated power all the time. It seemed like the more he did it, the more some of them got mad. How they didn't see that this was God, their Messiah, I don't understand, except that their minds were blinded. And to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils, he gave them power against unclean spirits, sent out his disciples. For with authority he commanded the unclean spirits, and they, and you know all these scriptures. It just goes on. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his words were with power, and for as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, and even to them that believe on his name. So this is one of the things about the power of Christ, is he gives it to us when we trust Christ as his Savior. Now the devil doesn't want us to know how much power we have in Christ. He wants to intimidate us because he's really scared if we would plug into this. So that's one of the goals, to learn the power of Christ and also how much he's given us, and just all kinds of verses in this area. Definition of omnipotence, we're going to look at the power of Christ, is he is able to do whatever he wants. This is my definition. If he wants to stop the sun from moving around the earth and have the sundial move back and all these different things, he can do that, whatever he wants. And if he wants to allow Satan to roam about as a roaring lion, he can do that so he can show his power over him. I mean, if there's a contest, you got to have two contestants to really have a contest. And so he's just a tool. He's just a tool so he can demonstrate his power. The power of this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's amazing when you can see somebody get saved that's just, you'd think that's the last person in the whole world to get saved. One guy went to heckle Moody one time, and I think he might have been a doctor. He's just bored, so he went to the meetings to get some things to amuse him. But he said Moody was almost like a machine gun. The Word of God just wow, 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 and it just blew into pieces. He got saved. It's the power of the Word of God and Christ. And when Christ was confronted, you know, they tried to throw him off a cliff. He just walked away. He just exhibited the power of God all the time. And so he was powerful. And we know a lot of things. So what we're going to try to do is see if we can get some insight into some things about him and see how that affects us. Genesis 17:1. God told Abraham, "I am the Almighty God." He's El Shaddai. He's the most powerful. But yet you go over to Isaiah 9:6, and Jesus Christ is referred to as the Mighty God. Matter of fact, let's see if I've got some of that. It's just amazing And I was doing some studying this afternoon for a message later on, showing more specifically how Christ is God. But Isaiah said in 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Amazing how the Messiah would be called the Mighty God, and also the Everlasting Father, and all these different things. Well, God is powerful, and also you have other verses in there. Some types of Christ's power. There are three types I'm going to cover tonight. One is creative power. We know he had that power. It's the same power as God because he is God. All things by him were created. We got all these different verses. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And that was John 1:3. And so you just go all the way through there. I like to read Isaiah 40, and I'm going to go there. Isaiah 40 is an amazing chapter. It's an amazing chapter talking about the Lord. Let's see. I didn't mark that, did I? No, I didn't. I guess I was going to do it later on, but I'm going to go ahead if I can get back there. And I had a verse there. Where'd I go? Back up here. Isaiah 40 and 26. Of course, that's a tremendous chapter. But 26, "Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things?" You ought to read through the whole chapter. It's just an amazing chapter. "Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out of their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth." The amazing thing is that you have God creating and you have Christ creating, because they're one together. Triune God. And in Isaiah, you just, if I kept on going, I'll just maybe give you one more verse, 41, 20, because I went all the way up to 59, just looking at this subject. Like I said, I was in a rambler and just started to go. That 41, 20, let's see, I think that was one on there. "That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it." So he has creative power. And you just go all through the scriptures, be like an old beagle. You get on a rabbit trail and you go off, and here's another rabbit trail, and you go off there, and pretty soon, you know, you're just going all over the place seeing that Christ was a creator. And so by him were all things created. Now, Jesus Christ being the creator, when I got over into Revelation, I'm going to come back over there tomorrow in Revelation 4, you see that he is the Lord and he should be worshipped. I'm going to take you to Lord willing tomorrow, and we're going to look at the area of him as being God, just being God. Amazing. I don't know. You really have to work hard to get the scriptures all twisted around to see that he's not God. You just got to really go out of your way to do that, because God made it very clear. But he is to be worshipped. In Revelation, he sat on the throne, "Thou art worthy," in 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And so he's powerful. He's very powerful. Now, this is a problem to a lot of guys after Christ was born. I got a list of a bunch of guys, the Ebionites, and they don't believe Christ had a divine nature. And you come down to the Gnostics, which Gnosticism just means it's just an ancient heresy that's continued on, which basically is stressing to escape from the world of things and the... by the acquisition of knowledge, you try to know everything by knowledge. Then you got the agnostics who say they don't know. They ought to get together to be good friends. It's a mess. You had the Arians that come along. He's not God in full reality, and a whole bunch of these other gods, these guys. I got about, seven or eight of them listed here. But finally they begin to level out, and they got down to some orthodox views where they had the Council of Chalcedon in 451, and they said he had two natures. He had a human nature, and he had a divine nature. And they come up with this, that each was complete, each organically indissoluble and united, yet so there's no third nature. And so they taught that Christ, he had a human nature when he was on this earth, sinless, but he had a divine nature also. And of course, people are still trying to get away from the fact that he was God in the flesh. And so when Jesus came along, they said, "Who are you?" They want to know, who is this guy? They didn't even bother to really investigate, send their FBI out to find out, well, where was he born? They thought he was born up in Nazareth or something. They could have checked it out. They had the records, the tax records and everything. He was born in Bethlehem. He fulfilled all of the scriptures of being born in Bethlehem, as Micah says. And so they're saying, who are you? And so this one guy comes out of the desert, dressed with a camel's coat, eating grasshoppers and honey and stuff, and he sees Jesus and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And he said, "There standeth one among you whom you know not. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And that was in 29. He said, 121, he said, "There standeth," and then 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And then 34, he said, "This is the Son of God." And so he was demonstrating to the world that he was powerful. Just how powerful he was. Nobody ever did anything like he did. I mean, he broke all their rules and everything, it seemed like, but they wasn't healing anybody and they wasn't raising the dead and they didn't get lepers healed. As a matter of fact, when he healed one guy in the synagogue, they got mad because he did it on the Sabbath. They just were mad upon their idols. Jeremiah said. And so his first demonstration of power publicly was when he turned the water into wine. John 2:11 said this, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." I believe he did that miracle for two reasons. One, so that they could see the glory of God right there. I mean, who's going to turn six water pots of water into wine? Now, magicians have their tricks and stuff, like Moses had to deal with those guys down there. But it was also, it said that his disciples believed on him. So he did miracles to show that he was God. And so it was a problem. Just being in his presence, you experience power. And I've said this before, and probably said it here, you know, when Mary came up to him and said they have no wine, I just imagine, you know, many times growing up, you know, "We don't have any more bread. Hey, Mom, look in the cupboard again. You might have missed something. Oh, there's a loaf of bread," you know. Living with him must have been interesting. We don't know if that happened or not. Now, you're going to have, in your walk with Christ, you're going to have times when you experience the power of God, and there's going to be times when you think God's just sort of walked away from you. But he doesn't do that. And he's going to manifest himself to you. He's going to make himself known. And what God wants us to be is actually an available body for him to live through. I was listening to a book by Francis Chan. He's talking about the Chinese laughing at the way we have church over here, because we're not really following the scripture so much, because they have real church. And some of them, they have to sign a thing. If they're going to become a believer, they're willing to have their property taken, go to jail, and all this stuff. You know, they're not playing church over there. It is real. And when they hear about some of the stuff that goes on in our churches, they just laugh. You know, rock concerts, just demonic stuff going on. The demons can't live in the presence of reality, and they couldn't stand Christ. All right, let's see if I can get a few things going here. Here's one of the things. By his word and his presence, there was power. Luke 4, 31, 32 through 36, his word was with power. He said that his word was in power. John 18, 6, as soon as he has said unto them, let's see, "I am he," they went back and fell to the ground. And so there was just power in his life. And his presence, just his very presence, would exhibit power in their lives. Now, hopefully we're going to come down and maybe learn a few lessons from this, because we all know these things. He had, of course, powers over the demons, Luke 9:37-43, and they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. And so we have all of these things going on. I had a little story over here. Let's see if this... this was a story about Spurgeon. One time he was really... And I copied it off and put it in here. He was really down. He was really despondent. And he said he began to listen to the testimony of an old blind, an old blind minister. He said he was blind, had been so for 20 years. And he said as he listened to this man, he said he didn't say anything unusual. He said if he'd read it in a book, he wouldn't even notice it. But because it was coming out of this man's life, it was just a demonstration of the power of God coming out, how he lived like this for 20 years. And he said it just came with force and with anointing as he shared. And I'll give you some of the things he shared, just normal things. But he said, you must tell the young ones of what the Lord has done for you. Why some of you good old Christian people are apt to get talking about the difficulties, the troubles, and the affliction you have met with more than the deliverances and the joys you have proved, not unlike those persons in Pilgrim's Progress who told poor Pilgrim about the lions and the giants and the dragons. He said, talk about the glory of God and the answers to prayer and how God is working in your life. Don't dwell on these negative things. And so they might have mentioned all this, but they should have told of Mr. Greatheart, and they should not have forgotten to speak of the eternal arm that sustains Christian and his pilgrims. Tell the troubles, that is wise, but tell the strength of God. Remember this, when the enemy gets to pounding on you, they're not pounding just for the fun of it. They don't like you because you love Jesus. And it's like a wrestling match. But the power of God is going to come through you if you live by faith. Just grab a hold and hang on there. I'm talking to several people right now in the area of warfare. And you just got to hang on. The enemy is afraid of you. And he doesn't want you to figure out that you have power, the power of Christ. Now let's see his presence and his power over demons and stuff. There was his, there's just his changing power. I want to ask you this question again, because I'm going to go into something. I'm going to go into a word. What is Jesus Christ to you? Oh, he's my Lord and my Savior. What is he to you when things are really hard? Is he power to overcome? Does he give you power to overcome, to believe, when there's nothing but darkness? Is he able? That's the word. Able. That's an interesting word. I went looking at it again. Is he able? the 20th, the other day, was our youngest son's third anniversary. Yeah. And their verse was Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. And it goes on in there. I'll quote this again, probably maybe read it and whatever. But that word able means that God can do it. He can do it. And there's one of the things I started off when I was 10 years old, about 60 years ago. And I just wanted to learn about God. And I had sort of a hobby, just sort of studying preachers and ministers. And back in, I think it was 88, back in our revival days, God just really spoke to me that I was supposed to minister to pastors, hardest guys in the world. I just wanted to know about God. And after all these years, I still don't feel like I know much about God. But it's just like a continual adventure to learn about him. The more you learn about him, the more you learn about yourself you don't like. You know, the more you see that you're not that much like God you'd like to be. But there was a Buddhist monk one time confronted a Christian. And he said to him, and I wrote this out, he said, there's a big difference between us. This is over in Ceylon. He said, there's a big difference. We see the wrong and have no power over it, but you Christians have the power over it. You've got the power. And so he's able to keep you. I sort of went through a lot of things fast. And so I'm down to maybe, let's just talk on some things a little bit here. Is he able to keep you? Is he able to get you through whatever you're going through? Psalm 62:11 said, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Power belongeth unto God. I want to go over to 1 Peter 1. Now, I've got a bunch of verses. I just went through a whole bunch of them. I don't have any concept of time. And so when I was in college and I had a really good professor that when he was teaching speech, trying to get my southern slur out of me, make me give my sermons or my messages in the corner or whatever, but I always had to ask permission for time because I just lose track of time. But so I don't know how long I've gone or how long I will go when you're asking that. I had no idea. If I don't look at a clock or something, I might think, oh, it's just going 15 minutes and it's been an hour. But I want to take you over to 1 Peter. And I just sort of didn't want to go too long, so I was just sort of going through here and going through some things, and I skipped over some things. Probably I shouldn't have. Listen to this statement about why you're going to 1 Peter about power. Well may the enlightened soul abhor such a God. The wondrous and infinite perfections of such a being call for fervent worship. If men of might and renown claim the admiration of the world, how much more should the power of Almighty fill us with wonderment and homage? Who is likened to thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and doing wonders? Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, let me get over there too. And let's just look at some verses. Look at verse, let's just start off in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. I feel sorry for people that try to save themselves or keep themselves saved by their works. You don't have to. God does it. We're kept by the power of God. 2 Peter, if you want to go over to 2 Peter, and I think that's chapter 1 also, and start off. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, grace, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. I think sometimes we're like kids going swimming over the lake or whatever, and all they want to do is wade around on the edge. They don't want to get wet. They're afraid to move out. And there could be some danger out there. One of them big muskies might come by and knock you over or something. You know, there's risk going deeper with God. But God's not going to let you drown. I remember, I don't know how old I was, 6 or 7, and I told you about this. You're going to have to forgive me for telling you things over and over. But we're at a lake, and I step off of a ledge. It was man-made, and they scraped off. And then they dropped down and scraped off. And when I stepped off, I was out of air when I went down. And I had no air, and my foot hit, and I just could barely get my mouth out of the water to get some air, and then I went back down. And I did that, it seemed like forever. But if it was time for me to die, I would have died. But God wasn't ready. And He had somebody see me. And they come over and got me just before I'm about done. You may think that you're going to die. But God is going to stretch you. It's like He says in Psalms 4, where David said that God had enlarged him. When God enlarged him, what He meant was He was letting him go through all these trials. Do you know that everybody in the Bible that God used mightily had to go through the fires and had to go through all kinds of things? You take it, whether it be Abraham, look at Moses. He had to go through 40 years of training in one school, luxury and power and everything, then go out to the desert for another 40 to be ready to go for serving another 40, and he still blew it. He still blew it when he stuck to rock. Look what God did to David. He had him chased around like a rabbit. Saul chased him all around. All of that was equipping for him to be able to handle the power of God in his life. And some of you have wanted more of the power of God in your life, but you might be belly aching and crying because of the trials and things that you have to go through. But we've got to be stretched, as he said in Psalms 4, verse 1, to have more capacity for God, whether it's Hudson Taylor, all the stuff he had to go through before God could use him. Coming back from China is a total failure, it seemed like. You know, in 5 years in England, God was just stretching them, and then he gave them interior China. It doesn't matter who it is. Look at Joseph, all the things that he had to go through. You are being equipped to handle the Holy Spirit living in you to have power. Now, the problem is we have in available to us all of the power that Christ had. Because it was the power of the Holy Spirit living through His life. He even said, we're going to do greater things than Him. And John, chew on that one. And I think I might come back and just share a few things on my list in a minute of the power of God that I've experienced over the years. And so many times you just don't even recognize it is the power of God doing that. And a lot of that, you come out of great problems and troubles and say, I'm dealing with one place right now where it just looks really bad. They got all this stuff going on and I'm just sort of, okay, the enemy was allowed to come in and he's doing his thing. But now we're going to wait and pray and believe God to do His thing and to come in there. And it's a really bad situation. But anyway, we just go through here. Let me give you a couple more verses on God's ability. This is what I want you to recognize tonight. If you get this thing, that word, if you go look it up in Strong's, it comes up and it says can. 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 And you could even put in there could if we would have let Him. He said, now unto him that's able, he can do it. He can do it. Whatever it is. And we all got challenges. Jude. Go over to Jude. I didn't mark this one, but it's one of my favorite ones. Jude in 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty. Whoa, did he call Jesus God? They call Him the Savior. I like Timothy over there where He's referred to, where God the Father is referred to as Savior and Jesus as referred to as a Savior. But now unto Him that is able to do it. Now unto Him that is able, 24, is able to keep. And that word keep is preserved. He's able to keep you. So you don't have to worry about that area. That's God's responsibility. You're God's responsibility. And so He gives us our responsibilities. I was going over, I just got so many different verses. I was going through here, John 10, 20, 17 and 18. He has power to hold us. And if you're His. And I was looking at John 10, 27, 28. When we're following Him, He's holding Him. Maybe I ought to go back over and read that. I don't know. What I call this is his His persevering power is His preserving power. I was, and by the way, Dynamai, you ever, Jeff and I was talking about Dynamai, I don't know who it was, his uncle or something, that blew this rock up in the air, and it got up smaller and smaller and smaller, and then it was, and then he said, run. You know, but Dynamai used to work, was that an uncle or what? It was his uncle. Thing got smaller up there, and he said, run, and it hit right behind him. You know, that stuff can hurt you. You know, I used to work with Dynamai. We'd blow up a half an acre of rock and different things. But God is wanting us to understand we have more power in us with the Spirit of God than Dynamai. And if the enemy, if we ever figure out how much power we have, it'd be like that one demon that was attacking me one time when we had revival, and I told you this story probably. I was just getting into, just getting revived. I'd lived an up and down life, and we'd been up to 2 a.m, seeing God work and young people, getting saved and something. So at five in the morning, 5:30, I think it was, this girl knocks on the door. I told you that story, didn't I? You've heard it many times. But anyway, when that demon in that girl kept saying, I'm afraid of you, I'm afraid of you, I'm afraid of you, I was just like, why are you afraid of me? I never seen you before in my life. I didn't recognize I'm communicating with a demon. You know? And that had so much power in me, and that demon knew it, and I didn't. Now I'd like to do that again. You know, they're afraid of you. I've had them tell me, leave town, and they'll use people. Don't let somebody bully you that's got the power of the devil in their life. You resist. This is why God says, we resist. That's our weapon. We resist. And then he has to flee. And basically, the professing Christian church is a bunch of wimps. And so what I want to communicate to you tonight, this one thing, that you have all of the ability of Christ in you. When you go down your street, we've moved into a neighborhood 1.5 years ago. I didn't want to be in a neighborhood or whatever, but just God overread. And so I go around walking and pray, and people come. I'm walking and praying for neighbors. And I was finally able to lead one to the Lord. I don't know if he really got saved or not. But I pray for them. You go down the road, you can pray. The other day I had to get an MRI last Monday because if I shake hands funny, it's because I tore my rotator cuff to pieces. About 3 weeks ago, it slipped on ice. So if I grin like that when I shake, I'll try to usually hold my hand. But I'm sitting in there going through that MRI, and I pray for all my children, all my grandchildren, 18 of them, another one coming, whatever. I went through just praying for everybody in the church, using redeeming the time. Because I know that God works according to our prayers. And so we pray. And we believe God to work. And I was going over to John 10. Let me just read you these verses. John 10, I'll read 17, 18, 27, 28. John 10, 17, let's see what that one say. Therefore doth my Father love me because... My Father love me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man take it from me. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Then look at 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So, first of all, basic thing, basic 101 of Christianity, when you trust Christ as your Savior, your soul is in God's hands. So then we move on into warfare. And so if the devil can get you to play in a game of badminton about your soul or whatever, playing and getting in doubt and stuff, that's an old game he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. He came to Eve and he said, yea, hath God said. She should have said, yeah, God said. Go take it up with him. But she began to communicate with the enemy. We don't mess around with the enemy. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Because when Jesus said, this is why Peter, you know, when he said, I'm not going to deny you, Lord. He said, you're going to all deny me this day. Peter, not me. You don't read my lips. Never. The reason he had good intention, he had sacrificial love, I have that in one of these messages, but he didn't have the power. But boy, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, what? He'd take on the whole bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees or whatever. He was bold. And this is one reason why we have trouble sometimes sharing Christ with others, because we're filled with ourselves. But if we be filled with the Holy Spirit, that's one of the things he gives us, boldness. And they had boldness. You know, it's just there. Well, it's a preserving power that God is able to save us. And is able to work into you. I want to read, and then I'm going to maybe go share your story and then I'm going to quit. But Ephesians, I want to go back. Where was that? Ephesians 3:20. There it is. This Ephesians is so powerful, all in here. That's the verse that says, now unto him that is able. What's he able to do? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. I want you to remember this word, able. When you say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, I'm able. I'm able to do it. Now, I've been around the block a few times, and I know that probably most of us have something that we are wrestling with or whatever. Maybe a relative probably or whatever. Remember that you are able, if it's wrong or if it's from the enemy or something, you're able to conquer, because we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us, because we have this power of him living in us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And this is why when we get into the battles and we got these things right, because the enemy's always going to be throwing things to try to hurt us, interfere in our lives and all of this. I want to read you this little quote. Well may the saint trust such a God. He is worthy of implicit confidence. Nothing is too hard for him. If God were stinted in might and had a limit to his strength, we might well despair, but seeing that he is clothed with omnipotence, no prayer is too hard for him to answer, no need too great for him to supply, no passion too strong for him to subdue, no temptation too powerful for him to deliver from, no misery too deep for him to relieve. The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? David said. Psalms 27:1. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Don't bore God with prayers that are not by faith. I think he gets bored and he waits for challenges from us. And so when he told them to stay and wait after he went to heaven, and then he said, you shall receive power after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so this one thing, that God has given you power, and the knowledge that we have in Christ is powerful. I'm going to close up with this story about a man who was a pretty heavy drinker. And here's his testimony. I thought, this is really interesting. He said, he wrote this to the editor of the Sun magazine. I think this is back around Newark or New Jersey, somewhere back over in there, years ago. He said, in your editorial on the glory of the Christian year, you say the idealism of Christianity still stirs the religious emotions of Christendom. Now, I don't think I know just what that means, but somehow it reminds me that years ago when I was fast becoming a drunkard, I used to attend services at a church at Newark just to hear a lady sing. And as she sang, she must have stirred the religious emotions in me, for I always felt very pious. And mine eyes became a very fountain of tears. Remember now, he's a drunkard in church. Listen to this gal sing. Could I have remained under that spell? I don't believe I could have done an evil thing. But when I got out on the street again, I made for the nearest saloon every time and spent the next hour or more filling myself with beer which also must have stirred my religious emotions, for I remember on one of those occasions of quarreling with the barkeeper because he did not believe in God. He's there all drunk, arguing when he believed in God. Now, whether this illustrates your point or not, I don't know, but it shows how a man may have religious emotions and yet not be a Christian. Now, this might be your problem. Why you don't really have much power in your life. Maybe you're not really a Christian. Maybe when you get up in the morning, you go through the whole day and never think about God or read your Bible or pray. Maybe that might be your problem. And that's easy to solve. You just surrender your life to Christ, be willing to repent. But he went on and he wrote more. And so, Mr. Editor, 23 years ago tonight, and some years after attending the church meeting referred to, and after years of hard drinking and evil courses generally, I attended a little woman's Christian temperance union meeting in Newark. And there, without any religious emotions, but with an awful sense of my exceeding sinfulness, I surrendered to Jesus Christ. And a spirit was put within me that has been with me ever since. And I have been as free from my old ways of living as though I had never lived at all. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's the power of the gospel. It changes you. And so many have got Christ in their head, but he never hit their heart, and he doesn't hit your lifestyle. But you want to compromise, you want to look like a Christian, and but yet live like the world. But when the power of God comes in, it changes us. There was, many years ago, a young student that went to the mission field. His name was Ray, W-R-A-Y. And he went to the mission field. He wasn't real sharp on learning the language. He had a lot of trouble out there getting that. And one time they were sitting around, the natives were sitting around, and he was there, and some other missionaries, and they got into this discussion, the natives did, on what was it like to be a Christian? That was their question. I got this written down here. What is it to be a Christian? And they're scratching their heads, I don't know. Then all of a sudden, one of them looked at Mr. Ray, and he said, that is what it is to be a Christian. He walked the walk. He didn't just talk the talk, but he walked the walk. And that is the power of Christ. We don't just talk the talk, we walk the talk. And Christ has given us power. And you know there's all kinds of verses that go into the scripture about the power to take a drunk. Listen to a nice song. He cried, you know. But then when he heard the gospel put forth with power, it penetrated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's just a simple old message. And you know that we fail you so many times. But our pattern should be more and more consistent of walking in the Spirit and having in our life this I can conquer that habit. I can watch my attitude. I can, through Christ, conquer this bitter spirit. I can conquer this laziness. I can conquer this habit. I can. Because you and your word say now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly. You can do it through us. You can help us. Now right now we'll turn, Father, this auditorium into an altar. And whatever it is we're struggling with, we can do all things through Christ. We can put it on the altar. And I just come before you now and ask that the Spirit of God to do whatever he needs to do. You know whether or not we are really living the Christ life, or we're just going through the motions. I did that, you know, Father, for 10 years after I'd prayed to receive Christ. My life was just really not a Christian. It was me. I'd gone through the motions. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit would draw to Christ anybody right now that needs to just repent and surrender their life to Christ. Or maybe we have something that's been draining the power out of our life. And we know what it is. And we hadn't been willing to let it go. Like the young rich ruler, you put that your finger on that one thing thou lackest. Thank you that you love us. Thank you don't condemn us. And maybe we've been crippled by something. We just need to be encouraged. We need to be picked up. Maybe life is just, our work is so hard, our finances are so skinny or whatever. But we can be encouraged. That's that able. I can be encouraged. Even though I don't see any hope in the dark, I don't see any solution. We just want to know more about Jesus this week. And tonight, you've given us a little taste that you were powerful. And now we draw upon you and your power to cleanse us, to encourage us, to maybe break our pride, whatever the need. Lord, do what you need to tonight. Well, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your kindness to us in Jesus' name.